Yeah, it's Board Wrestling Fan Radio back on the air for the 39th week.
Wow.
39 episodes.
Still haven't canceled yet.
We've got one guy that's been on for 39 of them. We've got me that's been on for 38 of them. We've got JT who's been on for a bunch of them. And joining me this week in the studio, Mr. George, he's been on once before.
Yes, this is my sophomore effort. Hopefully I don't screw it up too bad.
Oh, and come on. Screwing up is all part of the fun.
Yes.
Oh, especially on this show, man.
Oh, I'm very good at it. I just don't want to let it show right now. It's still early in the show, that's all.
Just got a text message telling me my NHL 13 will be available at 12:01 a.m. on Tuesday.
So will mine.
I will be at work, so mine will be available when I get out of work and get there when they open at 10.
Oh, that's a rejoicing day.
G is having technical difficulties today.
That's bad.
Apparently, yeah.
Hey!
Oh! Whoa!
Hey!
I don't know, man. I've been here the whole time. I can hear you.
Make a liar out of me, why don't you?
Yeah. I guess I was hiding with my... or something. I don't know. Weird. Anywho, episode 39. Yeah.
Yes.
39.
11 more, and you got something to celebrate.
Yes. Yes, we do.
That's awesome.
We're closing in on the number of Super Bowls.
Oh, we are. We're getting close. We're gonna pass them soon.
Oh yeah. Holy crap.
We're already way past the. We're already way past the number of Buffalo Bills Super Bowls.
Well, yeah. I was gonna say that had to be victories, but then again, that's not it.
What victories?
And the way they're playing today.
For those who listen to us abroad, today is the first day for American football.
Yeah, and not a good day for the Buffalo Bills.
No, and we just lost our live feed again. So, you gotta love this live feed, man. It seems like every time you're in the studio,
yes,
we lose
yes.
The live feed.
I'm good at that.
So, that game on Wednesday, that wasn't actually a season game.
That was. It was.
Yes.
Yeah. It was just one of those.
This is not the first day of American football.
No. Apparently, you are right.
It's the more important.
And I'm
day.
Canadian. Damn it.
It's a good thing you keep up on sports, because apparently
yeah,
we're having trouble.
I was kind of hoping the Giants wouldn't put, but they did.
Yeah.
You don't know the half of it, man.
Damn Cowboys.
This is why they don't play football games on Wednesday night.
Yeah. Oh, man, you know, it's... George got his text about NHL 13 now.
Beautiful.
George and I are part of the Noah's Ark show on Wednesday afternoons, and we do football bets, and my bet was that if the Giants were to lose to the Cowboys on next week's show, I would drink a 32-ounce Slurpee within the first 10 minutes of the show. So,
yeah, you've signed
6 p.m. allwesternnewyorkradio.com.
You've signed your death warrant.
Speaking of Slurpees, we finally have 7-Elevens here in Central New York.
All right.
Oh, sweet.
They're everywhere now, man.
They are, dude.
We've got like 20 of them here.
They took over all the Wilson Farms stores.
Wilson Farms, yep.
Yeah, okay.
Which was a good thing, because now
we have like 20 Wilson Farms here. So, mm-hmm.
So now you got 20, yeah, 7-Elevens.
Dude, it's better, because Wilson Farms would close at midnight. 7-Elevens open all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So if I want a hot dog at 3 in the morning, they're there.
This is true.
I love it.
I used to be the guy who sold people those hot dogs. I used to work graveyards at a 7-Eleven when I was 19 years old.
Oh, jeez.
And my manager was like, you have to turn the hot dog machine off at midnight. Well, I'm 19.
Many a year ago.
Yeah, you ignored those policies, you know. The easiest way to get through that shift is you just think about yourself as being drunk, walking to 7-Eleven at 3 in the morning. What do I want? I want a Slurpee and I want a dog. So all the machines stayed on when I worked.
There you go. Sympathy for the drunks. It's a beautiful
thing. Right.
I like it.
All right. Well, we're here to talk wrestling, so let's do that.
Sure. Let's give it a shot.
We started off our week with Jerry Lawler and CM Punk in a little backstage altercation.
Oof, that was bad.
And there, you know, Michael Cole's out there trying to, oh, CM Punk attacked Jerry Lawler from behind before. We didn't see that.
No.
You know what I saw was Jerry Lawler punch CM Punk first. That's what I saw. I don't.
Yeah, it was justifiable, but it was a bad call by Michael Cole, which I'm used to by now.
Punk interrupts Sheamus. He explains that it was Jerry Lawler that attacked him from behind backstage. Confirming my theory.
Gotta justify the bad call. Great.
And then AJ sets up the matches for the night. John Cena versus Alberto Del Rio and Sheamus versus CM Punk.
Beautiful match possibilities.
Trying to follow this along with Reitman's review, it's kind of difficult. He's got everything in there, it's just not in order.
He's got to put it together, that's all. It's a big puzzle.
Yeah. Let's see, our match is Dolph Ziggler defeated Randy Orton, hooking the tights.
Of course.
Old school kind of win.
He's got to be the heel.
Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio versus Tensai and Cody Rhodes. And the masked guys win, of course, because when's the last time Tensai won?
I don't remember. I don't even remember when was the last time he beat somebody credible.
Last time Tensai won, I think, was before he did the tout with Sakamoto. Open your eyes!
Ever since then, they've turned him into a jobber. Poor guy.
CM Punk came out to face Sheamus and decided, I'm not working tonight. Yeah. It's Labor Day, screw that.
Everybody else is taking a day off, so I guess you could appreciate me taking one too.
Of course, AJ begging him to stay. What do you? You got a match? Nope. I have a personal day. It's in my contract.
Yes.
Or is it? As I seen elsewhere online, it's in the script.
This was pre-written. I can't go against it.
Sheamus defeated Jack Swagger, which left us with Jack Swagger quitting, leaving, taking a leave of absence, much good. To AJ's chagrin.
Good, he sucks now.
Eve defeated Caitlyn. And did you hear this? Caitlyn wasn't supposed to win that battle royal.
Really?
Eve botched it.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, Alicia Fox was in that match, right?
Yes.
So there you go. That explains it.
That woman does not have to be involved in it in any sort of for a botch to happen. She has to be in the building.
Apparently, Eve was supposed to land on the apron and not on the floor.
Smooth. So, good job, Eve.
Which is why they're setting up that Eve and Layla feud instead of really pushing the Caitlyn and Layla match.
Unbelievable. Oh, that goes without saying.
Or as Wrestler Monkey said on Wrestling with Tex, they're setting up that Layla Miz feud. Miz on commentary through the night and arguing with Layla.
Jeez. Oh, when will they get rid of the Miz? It's just my own personal opinion. Nothing against anybody, but I'm sick of them.
Ryback defeated Jinder Mahal. That's the guy I'm sick of, is Jinder Mahal.
That's why he's getting his ass kicked constantly by Ryback. It's just bad.
Oh, we got all our. We got a couple more Kane Daniel Bryan anger management sessions. I'm not afraid to admit that I laughed my ass off when Bryan's like teacher's pet.
my question is this is. I'm hearing a lot of, unlike a lot of people, I actually enjoy these segments. Well, everybody is enjoying them. Who the hell is not enjoying these segments?
Yeah, right. I mean, I enjoy them.
Yeah, I do.
They've been the best thing on Raw the last 2 weeks, honestly.
See, I didn't get to watch much or almost any of Raw last week, but the week before, when Kane came out and he apologized to Josh Matthews, that probably was the best line I've ever heard come out of Kane's mouth ever.
We had Wrestler Monkey on from Wrestling with Tex last week, and he was pointing out how when Kane was beating him up, he's just, I'm sorry, Josh! I'm sorry!
It was so beautiful.
Well, this week, if you didn't see it, Kane and Daniel Bryan were scheduled to be in the ring. It was a Raw active match, and the idea was
active in quotation marks.
Okay, Raw active, and you had, the fans could choose on Twitter between a match between the two, a tag team match with them as a tag team, or for them to hug it out.
Oh boy, like you couldn't tell what was going to happen there.
And the fans, of course, voted hug it out. And if I was home, I would have voted the same damn thing.
I would have too. I would have even let them, you know, I would have had them, like, go get ice cream together or something. I don't know.
Best part of this was probably one of the best things I've seen in a long time was the hug it out segment. Because they've got, you got Kane and Daniel Bryan in the ring, and they're hesitant to hug it out. And Bryan hugs Kane, and Miz is like, no, that's not how it works. They have to hug at the same time. Michael Cole's like, how do you know? How do you know how the rules to a hug it out?
Apparently, The Miz gives classes on that stuff.
Apparently so.
He's teaching it at the local learning annex.
So then Kane hugs Bryan back, and Miz still, no, you both have to hug at the same time. Oh, the fans are chanting, hug it out, hug it out. Finally, they hug each other and, you know, shake hands, and Bryan slaps Kane on the arm.
Oh, boy.
To which Kane slaps him back harder. And then it ends up turning into this big brawl with Kane going to try and do the spot with the chair where he wraps it around his neck and jumps off the middle rope. And officials come out to stop, and Bryan whacks him with the chair and runs away.
Oh, jeez. That little goat.
Oh, that was great stuff.
That was a love tap, actually.
Yeah.
He wasn't even trying.
It was great stuff.
A little too long, though. That was my only knock on it. I loved it, but it was like 9 minutes for a hug. I don't know if they actually honestly thought the fans would vote for that, and they kind of got screwed a little bit.
I think what they did was they devoted enough time in case the fans didn't vote for that, for them to have a match or a tag team match or whatever. So it's like, okay, well, if you're going to hug it out... Oh, shit, I just realized my computer's battery is dying. If you're going to hug it out, you need to, you know... We need to waste as much time as possible. Yeah. Give me 1 second. I got to plug my headphone, my computer in here.
Oh, boy. We are experiencing semi-technical difficulties, ladies and gentlemen. Please bear with us at this time.
We're experiencing idiot host difficulties.
I wasn't going for that angle, Joe, but if you really want to plug it that way, go ahead.
Must harvest Energon cubes.
It's just that kind of a day. First, you know, our esteemed host has to watch one of the football teams from his hometown suck it up, and then, you know, unfortunately the computer is ready to die.
I equate the Buffalo.
And then I have to go under George to get to the plug.
Oh hell no! I'm moving the hell back.
Well, I equate the Buffalo Bills season to the Syracuse Orange season. High hopes. We all have high hopes at the beginning, and then when they disappoint.
Yeah. What are we talking about, the Bills again?
Yeah,
he heard disappoint.
He likened the Bills season to the Syracuse Orange season.
Oh, okay.
Problem is, the Bills just sucked right out of the gate. There's no room for anything but suck.
Bills are on the board, by the way. It's 21-7 right now.
Oh my God!
Jets have the ball in the red zone. 2:47 left in the second quarter.
They must have been feeling bad. Back to the game here.
Where were we?
We were talking about the extended length of time for the hug it out session.
Yeah, you got to figure they wanted to make sure they had enough time. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, you could have always had something that was like a throwaway segment. You know, you could have had a Brodus Clay squash. You could have had Brodus Clay come out with just Naomi.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, see, that could have happened. I mean, you got to have something extra. You know, or anything with Santino. How about that? You know, he seems to provide some good entertainment.
Yeah. Well, we had Santino. Santino was in the next match.
Yes, yes.
U.S. Championship match. Antonio Cesaro defeated Santino Marella. Because Santino spent the entire match trying to make up his mind about using the Cobra. Of course, I didn't even bother watching it. Come on, really?
I
Skip.
I wouldn't either.
And then the next match comes on. Zack Ryder versus Heath Slater. Skip. Zack Ryder with the Rough Rider picks up the win there. The one man band.
Oh, dude.
Streak is over.
Awful. I was watching the 50 biggest OMG moments in WWE history, and they showed the footage back when the Nexus beat the hell out of John Cena for like the first time or whatever.
Yeah.
And you notice all the members of the Nexus it's the Where Are They Now segment all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know, like I see the man that would be Ryback and the man that looked like Buckwheat that would be part of the primetime players, and then and then of course there's that dude with the mask on his face, the half mask that just became
Michael Tarver.
Yeah. Who became a nobody.
He became one of our spelling champions. I'm sure he's been mentioned in our news segment before talking crap about John Cena. So.
Terrible. You know, I mean, but almost every other member at that time is now part of the regular roster, except for Tarver.
Yeah.
That I remember.
I didn't point out earlier in the Sheamus Swagger match was after the match, Alberto Del Rio tried to go after Swagger. And Ricardo Rodriguez caught the brogue kick.
Yes!
which, of course, led to a segment on SmackDown we'll get to a little bit later on.
Yeah.
But Alberto Del Rio was in the main event. He faced John Cena in a Falls Count Anywhere match. And they brawled all the way to the backstage area when Cena was attacked by CM Punk, who threw Alberto Del Rio on top of him, giving Alberto Del Rio the win.
Terrible.
Punk gives Cena a GTS to the hood of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And as they drive away, looking out the window, the driver's side window, is Paul Heyman.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Other stuff that happened was, let's see, The Miz on commentary, and AJ. Oh, yeah, Vicky Guerrero comes out at one point. She's complaining about AJ beating the crap out of her last week.
Mm-hmm.
Then she does an invisible chair promo.
Oh, jeez, really?
Because, you know, you can't have Clint Eastwood do something stupid without making fun of it, I guess.
Leave the old man alone.
And AJ shows up and fights with her, argues, or tells her that she can't lay her hands on any WWE superstar, diva, manager, announcer, or anybody else.
Oh, Jesus.
And Vicky slaps her in the face a few times, and AJ goes crazy.
Oh, as expected.
Beats up a steel chair, and... As I read elsewhere online, that's going to lead to the steel chair being number 357 on the PWI 500 next week. Next year, rather.
Awesome. That is incredible. Somebody really needs to just, like, send Vicky somewhere where nobody will ever get to hear her or see her again. That bloated toad is just... Oh.
A few weeks ago, I had my nephew staying with us, and Mom was watching, it was either Raw or SmackDown, and she comes out, he looks over at me. Now, he's a somewhat wrestling fan. I'm not sure how in tune he is still with the product, because he lives over in Germany. But he goes to me, he looks at me, he goes, Uncle John, why is she still working here? And I'm like... It's one of those questions you just really can't answer. I just looked at him like, well, she has a contract, so she has to be there. But I'm just right. Like, he just, the photo will be on, it's like.
Well, we could tell the truth. It's, oh, the WWE kind of feels sympathetic because her husband passed away and they didn't want to see her turn back to hooking. And so they got to give her a job out of sympathy. And I don't know when this whole thing ends, but it better end soon because, wow, she's not only, like, uneasy on the eyes, but she's uneasy on the ears, and she's in a total assault to the senses.
Yeah.
And I swear, I look at her, and I just want to rip out my friggin' eyes and stomp on them. She's just, ugh. Oh, dude.
Yeah, I do agree. She does need to take some extended time away. I'm not, you know...
Seriously. I honestly, I would rather open mouth kiss Tensai than have to watch this. on a regular basis. That's saying a lot.
Now you see why I brought him in for today's show.
Oh, my wonderful use of words.
G, thoughts on Raw. G of the internet.
Come in, G.
You have to unmute your mic, G.
G of the broken internet.
Last time he was just hiding on us. This time, who knows?
This show's been plagued with technical problems, hasn't it? Jeez, mic's not working. Mixler went down. I forgot to plug in my computer.
it could only get better from here. Whoop.
There we go.
Hey! Welcome back.
My cable's got
there we go. And then
okay.
No, I got a broken wire in my microphone here. I was wondering what the hell that was.
Crap.
Yeah, okay, well, you know, you should be a little bit scared there, George, because they're building up a program between AJ and Vicky, and I bet you money. We'll bet a Canadian loony on it. That it's going to be Vicky versus AJ for GM. I'm sorry, but that's the way they're going, and if they change it, hey, I'm more for it, but... what else would they feud over, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, one Canadian dollar, are you Christian or Chris Jericho? Which one?
whichever one leaves me ending up with Chris
Stratton. He's Christian Jericho. How about that?
There we go, Christian Jericho.
He could have a little bit of both. Well, I guess if the whole thing happens where Vicky wins GM, I'm gonna be taking my Raw results from this show because I'm just not gonna watch it anymore. The second I hear that first excuse me, first of all, my ears want to slam shut, and second, I gotta throw the TV on mute and go make a sandwich or something because I get really irritated. It's just me though.
I don't think it is. I think Vicky needs. I got to mirror JT's point there. I think, you know, we're really starting to see the 3-hour thing take its toll on the show. There's great parts of Raw. I mean, yeah, of course I marked out Paul Heyman or, you know, the horse head is Wrestler Monkey made a gif out of popping out of the car at the end. That was fantastic. The pessimist in me knows we're going to screw it all up and fuck our shit over, but I can swear now, people.
Yes, you can. Fuck shit.
Just like in my SmackDown reviews, every second word.
It's true.
But I don't know. I guess the big question for me, and I'm assuming you guys probably thought about it too, are we getting a new Dangerous Alliance here? Is this like a Brock Lesnar CM Punk stable? Or is this something just to kind of keep Brock out of the picture and bring him in, you know, maybe on a separate story arc? What do you guys think about that idea of a new stable?
If that actually happens, I think that's going to be great. It's going to be a stable of some of the most powerful heels in the WWE right now. And I think it would work nicely. I just don't know how you would work the face angle of it.
Yeah, I saw that graphic that was posted in that group, The Flock, that you and I are both in, G, and it's the one thing that was, because they had, what was it, it was Nash, it was Punk, Heyman, Lesnar, and Daniel Bryan, and the one thing I'm thinking through the whole, just looking at this image is, you know, they need to take that W out of Daniel Bryan's shirt, that way it just says no.
There you go. They can call it the no, no, no.
The no world order.
Very nice.
I don't know. I hadn't really put much thought into it, honestly. It's cool to see Punk with Paul Heyman, and it's going to be interesting to see where it goes from here.
And it might be just my opinion again, but I found it quite creepy, the look on Heyman's face as he's looking out the window as he's driving by Cena. I'm like, oh my god, dude, that's one ugly son of a bitch.
The other joke I saw this week was, if it was Cameron driving the car, John Cena would look like Lord Tensai. Entire track across the face.
Oh, Jesus. That'd be awesome. Somebody needs to do that to John Cena. He's another guy that needs some time off.
JT, anything to add?
Yeah, actually, I got a pretty interesting story here, I got to tell you. So I go to the gym because, you know, I'm all big buff and I'm a stuff, you know?
Yeah, right. You're smaller than I am and you go to the gym.
I go to the gym on Tuesday and the guy behind the counter looks at me and goes, "So, did you watch Raw last night?" I look at him, I'm like, "How the hell do you know I watch Raw?" And he goes, "Well, it's pretty obvious, seeing as you wear all those wrestling shirts in here." I'm like, "All right then."
You gave it away. This guy's paying a lot of attention to you.
He's paying to it. That's kind of creepy.
I would be kind of concerned if I were you. Might want to switch gyms, even.
I'm not worried.
Not yet.
If people are paying attention to your shirts, man. You already have a Board Wrestling Fan shirt. I was going to say we need to get you a Board Wrestling Fan shirt.
I almost thought about wearing that.
Beware what that guy might sprinkle into your protein beverage.
Yeah.
he could be after you.
But I for the most part, I kind of thought, like, wrestler, I thought it was all right, you know? Like I say, I agree with the, I don't like the whole we're rushing with AJ, we're going to get rid of her already, because it's, and especially with Vicky, it's not who I want to see on Raw.
No.
You know, granted, I DVR Raw now since it's gone to 3 hours. I don't even watch it until, like, Tuesday or Wednesday during, you know, I won't, you know. So I can block it out for the most part, but I really wish they would give it AJ a little bit more time and not just try to make it, "Oh, we're going to go, we made a bad mistake," because I don't think she's completely horrible, but then again.
She's better than the alternative.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think this story is going to go like tonight of champions and it's over, you know, because I really think if they're going to do anything with it, it'd be Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, even when we're on SmackDown, they're building towards, you know, Booker T is, you know, getting in trouble over there too. You know, mm-hmm. Josh Matthews, you know, upset about Kane attacking him, and David Otunga trying to get the Brogue Kick banned and all that.
It's becoming a big joke. You know, there was so much hullabaloo made about the new Raw and SmackDown general managers, and almost immediately after they're picked, it's as if they're like, "Oh, back to the drawing board. Something didn't go right."
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think the best general manager is Impact general manager.
See,
brother.
Oh Jesus!
See, if I was on after that all happened, because that was during my vacation, and I would have been straight up. In fact, I think it's good that they went, you know, AJ and they went Booker T, because it's, you know, it's different. They're not going with, okay, same old, same old. Even though I've heard rumors that it was supposed to be Flair, was supposed to be the, Ric Flair was supposed to be brought in, and he was going to be the GM of both programs. I don't know how true that was, but that was halted because of the whole lawsuit deal. But I kind of like the fact that they've got two different people that, you know, they're doing it, because, you know, you can only have Teddy Long, even though he's still on, you know, there with the flowchart every week. You can
Tag
only
team
have
match player.
You can only have Teddy Long for so long on SmackDown.
Wait till Undertaker comes back next month, and then every other match is going to be one-on-one with the Undertaker.
It's true. You can't keep recycling the same things. I mean, you can for so long.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. But it was a fresh new take on things, and it went over so well with the fans. I mean, it was a perfect, I would say, a perfect move. And just as you see that, all of a sudden now you want to start infusing feuds into the GM situation, which it's true, you haven't given this guy and this girl enough time to really establish a foothold in the GM spot. And, you know, just give it, I mean, Jesus, just do something else productive. I don't know. I mean, have Brock Lesnar beat up that midget, or a little person. I, Hornswoggle. That, yeah, that little turd. Do something like that. Pass the time a different way. You know?
Hornswoggle's a bit of a jerk, man. He kicked Daniel Bryan in the shin for no reason.
Well, that was... That was Hornswoggle's version of the bro kick. That was as high as he could get.
Yeah.
A little ankle biter.
Well, we'll get to SmackDown in a second. Let's talk Impact, because I actually watched it this week.
So did I.
And we don't have an Impact reviewer right now. We were supposed to use Wrestler Monkey's Impact review. We were supposed to link to it, but Wrestler Monkey is taking an extended vacation from doing his site. So.
Shit.
That kind of stuck us without somebody this week, and by the time I watched them, like, I don't feel like doing this.
That's true.
Actually kicked off with one of the two final Bound for Glory, as Mike Tenay put it, regular season matches.
Yeah.
It was Samoa Joe versus Jeff Hardy, and surprisingly, Jeff Hardy picks up 10 points, submission victory over Samoa Joe. He tapped out Samoa Joe.
I'm speechless for the first time in my life. Holy shit. I just don't get it. I mean, Samoa Joe... like last year when... What, he didn't pick up a win for how long in that series?
Yeah.
And now this time around, it seems like he's getting the shaft again and...
Well, apparently the background on this is Magnus injured Joe's arm, so it's set up for Hardy to be able to use that arm lock to get Joe to tap out. But, I mean, that doesn't look like a move Samoa Joe would tap out to.
Does Jeff Hardy even know what a submission move is? Was it by accident?
It might have been by accident. He might have...
he tried to get him in some kind of an arm bar, and all of a sudden Samoa Joe's like, oh, shit! I give up!
Maybe I don't know. Maybe he thought his arm looked like a big bag of Doritos.
He's like, damn, I got the munchies.
I thought he like overdosed and was just kind of like contorting into some weird position by accident, submitted him, but
he was having a seizure and he just so happened to be twisting on an arm at the time.
That's what it was. Yeah.
After the match, Christy Hemme tries to interview Samoa Joe, but Joe gets interrupted and then attacked by Magnus.
Jeez.
And
wow, Christy Hemme still works there?
She's the ring announcer and the interviewer.
You see, I haven't watched...
George, she's going to be the new gut check judge, and she's going to be everything on the show.
George doesn't know. I haven't watched Impact in 3 years, so.
It's almost been like that for me, too. I get to watch it once in a great while, if I'm lucky. But, yeah, she's got to earn that big paycheck that they decided to give her.
He doesn't watch it because the last time he watched it was when it was the worst freaking show you could possibly watch. It's gotten a lot better.
I can watch it because, you know, I have the host myself on Thursday nights and I can watch whatever I want, but I just choose not to.
JT's Thursday nights, redtube.com.
You porn. And now that we've brought that up, we should mention right now that we are unofficially sponsored by youporn.com.
We're not really. I have to bring over a Noah's Ark bit. The Board Wrestling Fan Radio podcast does not condone or endorse anything George says.
Oh, damn it. I was thinking of you know, one of the new types of a new internet sensation with porn, the click and whack. Click. Sorry.
Well, I mean, to be fair, China's new porn movie came out this week, Queen of the Ring. Seven Rock for Gangbang, you know.
Oh, jeez.
Please tell me you have a picture of that in our group so I can show George, because I've seen the box art.
I probably could get it for you. I could get screen caps right now if you really want to see it.
I don't want the screen caps, man. I just the box art.
I've seen it on the other forums.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy. Look at what I've started. I have been able to inject porn into the Board Wrestling Fans show.
We've done 38 episodes of this show.
The takeover is complete.
Oh. It's technically news, guys.
It is news. He's right. It is technically news.
And it does have to do with a former wrestler.
So. Yes, it is wrestling news. So, yes. Okay. Back to Impact. Okay. Let's get this show under control. Backstage, Hulk Hogan's with four teams trying to get a shot at the tag team titles later on Impact. The teams Kid Cash and Gunner. Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez, the Robbies, Robbie E and Robbie T, and AJ Styles bursts in the room like, give me the shot. And Hogan says, no, you're the first guy out.
See you later.
Meanwhile, Brooke Hogan is talking to Tara, and they set up a match between Tara and Gail Kim. Tara's got the title match at the... I don't want the movie trailer. I'm not clicking on that.
Don't worry. He'll eventually check it out at some point. We just have to make sure it's all quiet like.
I blast my speakers, but my neighbors can hear them.
It can't happen here. Some things just can't be done in this area.
Yeah, this ain't Canada, man. We have noise ordinances here. And believe me, anytime China opens her mouth, that's a noise ordinance.
That's like Vicky. But, you know, I'd be more apt to bang China than I would Vicky. Anyways, I'm sorry.
Gail Kim versus Tara. Tara picks up the win with the Widow's Peak. It was actually not a bad knockouts match.
Well, they're both veterans of the ring.
They're both very talented. They're both former WWE and TNA. Yes. Women's champions.
Yeah, I mean, I could imagine a match like that would be something, you know, very decent with two of them. Yeah,
we get Al Snow out to the ring. Al Snow decides he wants to give Joey Ryan another chance at gut check.
Oh no!
Joey Ryan gets in the ring. He says, "I don't need to prove anything to you. I proved it to 87% of the audience."
Oh, Jesus!
And Al says, "Listen, one match." And you win and you're in. No judges, nothing like that. And your opponent is me.
I knew it.
And Joey Ryan says, no. You know, I don't have anything to prove to you. And then Al Snow slaps him. He runs out of the ring. He says, I don't work here. I'm going to sue you. So this storyline continues.
The dude looks like a 70s porn star. It's
That's
terrible.
That's what makes it so awesome, man. I love this storyline. I think it's hilarious. And he had a great line on Al Snow. It's like, it's 2012. Nobody wants to see you wrestle in your spandex.
Yeah. It's like, I don't care. I'll wrestle in jeans.
That's right.
That's right. Got my Canadian tuxedo, man. I'll take you down.
That's Roddy Piper street fighting gear to you. Wow.
And he is Canadian, so there you go.
Perfect.
Hot rod.
Oh, no. That's great. So what else do
and
we
when
got?
When did Al Snow start sounding like John Laurinaitis? That's what I want to know.
Oh, man. I still don't believe John Laurinaitis is related to Animal of the Legion of Doom.
Yeah, they're brothers.
I don't believe it, because I've seen the two of them, and they look nothing alike.
Which reminds me, are you related to Zack Ryder? His last name's Cardona.
No, I'm not. I wish, because then I'd be going after his money.
Hey, you know me. I'm your cousin. Come on.
I got enough of all my... Maybe I should check into my family line, because there might be something there. Can I get a couple bucks? I'm a little low for the week.
Bully Ray asks Joseph Park about the Aces and Eights, and Joseph Park says, nope. I will tell Hulk Hogan or Sting, because they're my clients, not you.
Jeez.
Meanwhile, they caught a guy from the Aces and Eights. Hogan found out who he was. They caught him. They brought him into a room. And Austin Aries gets to interrogate him.
Oh, beauty.
We'll come back to that in a second. Back to the tag teams, Kid Cash and Gunner get eliminated because it's too personal with them.
Oh, come on.
It's not business. It's too personal.
That sounds like a great tag team. I'd Love to see them go for the title.
Bound for Glory series match, Rob Van Dam versus Bully Ray. And you and I, we know their history.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Which, I'm sitting there watching the match, and Bully Ray catches the kick, he ducks the enziguri, and RVD comes back around with the reverse enziguri, and it's like, you didn't see that coming? You've been wrestling the guy for 2 years? For 10, 15 years?
Yeah. Dude, if anything, you should have just caught the kick and threw him down. Anything that has to do with his feet, you know? Like, he'll miss one way, and then all of a sudden a magic foot will pop up and just hit you anyways.
Bully Ray in firm control of the match. RVD goes for the 5-star, but Bubba Cutter right out of the air.
That was awesome.
I know. You see Randy Orton do it. It's like, it's been done. You see Bully Ray do it. It's, holy shit! What a finish!
I didn't know a fat guy could do that.
Bully Ray with the victory. 7 points of the Bound for Glory series. Rob Van Dam is out. Our final four, James Storm, Bully Ray, Samoa Joe, and Jeff Hardy.
Of course.
Backstage, Austin Aries is interrogating the Aces and Eights guy. Finds out that the guy's name's Mike. He's from New York. He works as a cable puller for Impact Wrestling. He wants to know who's the guy that almost broke his arm a couple of weeks ago. And to get the information out of him, he pulls out a pair of pliers and grabs the guy's tongue.
Oh!
When Hulk Hogan comes in and says, hey, what are you doing?
I'm trying to get answers, you jackass.
Austin Aries says, this was our deal. He says, no, the deal was I get a piece of him, too.
Yeah.
Hogan goes to go after the guy. He gets a phone call. Aces and Eights say they will send the guy the arm breaker. They will send him in exchange for Mike.
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 Better boy from now, brother. You said that.
You said
let him live for now, man. Hogan's gonna kill a guy eventually. It's gonna be awesome.
He's not gonna kill a guy. He's gonna let Austin Aries kill a guy.
It's gonna be the TNA snuff film. I can't wait.
Tonight on a very special episode of TNA Impact.
He was trying to pull the guy's tongue out with pliers, man.
TNA Impact, the Faces of Death edition.
Yep. Now with wood chippers.
Meanwhile, James Storm comes out to the ring. He gets to pick his opponent for No Surrender tonight.
Oh, jeez.
Which G has helpfully given me the card for right here. We'll talk about that right after we talk about Impact. But James Storm comes out. He decides he wants to pick Bully Ray because Bully Ray eliminated him last year from Bound for Glory.
It was just like the NHL playoffs this year where the first seeded team got to pick their opponent for the Stanley Cup final. I kind of mixed about this. I wonder what you guys think. Should they be following a proper tournament format, or can you give them a pass on this? Like, why the hell does the first round guy get to pick his opponent? It's kind of... To me, I'm, as you can tell by my bias, I think it's retarded. What are you guys?
Well, I mean, you're comparing wrestling to hockey. I mean, we have a board hockey fan. It's launching tomorrow at midnight Pacific.
Ooh, all right.
We've already got our first little bit of a article, if you want to call it that, up there, ready to go for tomorrow as soon as we launch. Yeah, in this situation, I think it does kind of make sense. James Storm, first place in the thing. You know, why not? Give the guy who beat most of these guys, or at least got more points than them, give him some kind of incentive to be first place instead of, you know, lounging around and being happy with fourth place, Rob Van Dam.
Oh, jeez.
Rob Van Dam. Excuse me. I'm wrong on that. Jeff Hardy.
Yeah. You weren't wrong. They're both. Well, they're both usually high, and
and we do have.
I think they're smoking buddies.
we do of course, with James Storm picking Bully Ray, we get the other match being a rematch of Impact, Jeff Hardy and Samoa Joe. So
things aren't gonna go well there.
Huh.
Samoa Joe might just kill a guy.
Backstage, Christy Hemme is with Rob Van Dam, asking him for his thoughts when Magnus interrupts. Wait, where have I said that before? Magnus interrupts, and he's pretty much mocking RVD, and RVD punches him in the face, and they start fighting until Al Snow and D'Lo Brown have to separate them.
D'Lo Brown.
D'Lo Brown.
Man.
You better recognize.
The guy with the chest protector and the rubber neck.
You better recognize. World Tag Team title match, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian against their opponents, finally picked by Hulk Hogan, Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez.
Couldn't see that one coming a mile away.
Chavo Guerrero.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the biggest acquisition by TNA ever, apparently. Or at least that's what they want you to believe.
If you put WWE on your application, it doesn't everything. You're always the big. You're always the biggest acquisition they've ever gotten.
Yeah, yeah. A wrestler whose biggest claim to fame was being Kerwin White after Uncle Eddie died.
It was before Uncle Eddie died.
Oh, yeah.
When Uncle Eddie died, he wasn't Kerwin White anymore.
It's the reason Uncle Eddie died.
Could have been.
He killed him. He's like, what?
Hey, Chavo's a former ECW champion.
Yeah,
for insane. 5 seconds.
No, he lost it in five.
He
five
lost
seconds.
It in 5 seconds. Yeah, I should know. I was there. I got to see that live.
I just remember. I remember he wrestled like CM Punk like 15 times in order to get the title shot, and then he finally wins the title.
Yeah,
and then gets his ass handed to him. How wonderful.
Well, Kane did jump him from behind.
Oh, boy. I didn't even have time to blink in that match.
Got my WrestleMania 24 stuff right on my wall here.
Yes,
was there. I got to see that. I was excited when Kane won that Battle Royal, right? Because it's like, oh, Kane's going to get a match. That means cool. Kane always has the coolest fucking entrances at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And then he jumps the guy from behind.
It's
like, what the fuck is this?
It should've...
I wanted to see a full, proper Kane entrance.
With all the excitement of a dark match, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. That's just shitty.
So anyway, Daniels and Kaz win when Daniels hits Hernandez in the ribs with the TNA tag team title belt.
You hit Hernandez anywhere in the upper body with anything less than a wrecking ball. He shouldn't be able to feel it.
I know, right? That dude was a monster.
What the fuck?
That's Supermax. Just terrible. Supermax is not the equivalent of Super Cena, apparently.
No. My, how the mighty have fallen. Hernandez goes from, like, the one-man wrecking crew to the guy that works the taco truck outside the arena.
After the match, Hogan comes out. He interrupts Daniels and Kaz, and he says, well, you've got yourself a match this Sunday at No Surrender against a guy who says he could beat both of you at the same time, but I made him get a partner because I don't think he can. AJ Styles and Kurt Angle, tag team title shots.
AJ Styles,
No Surrender.
The womanizer. Jesus, how many angles with females can he have? There's Kurt Angle's wife, there was Dixie Carter, there was that ugly broad.
Don't even bring her up, man.
that ugly broad. I swear. And each time he's gone further downward in the progression. Next thing you know, he's going to be going after Vicky Guerrero. That's going to be his next quote-unquote love interest. All right. So back to the game here.
Austin Aries drags Mike to the ring.
Mike.
And he's waiting very impatiently, decides, okay, well, if they're not going to come out, I'm just going to beat the information out of you. And Mike's like, okay, I'll talk. And then the arm breaker comes out, pulls Mike out of the ring, hits him in the head with a hammer.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's on for No Surrender. It is Austin Aries versus the arm breaker.
Oh, man. Well, I know what body part he's going to be working on, so Austin Aries better know well, and, you know.
It's Alberto Del Rio in a mask. He's pulling double duty. He was part of the Ric Flair trade, too.
Austin Aries better be using a lot of drop kicks.
Yeah.
Keep his arms away from the guy.
TNA No Surrender tonight on pay-per-view if you're bored with football by 8 o'clock.
I was bored with it after the second interception.
Yeah, I think unless check the score is 27-7.
It is 27-7 New York Jets right now in at MetLife Stadium there.
What a joke.
Miss Tessmacher versus Tara for the TNA Knockouts Championship.
That should be a good one.
Zema Ion taking on Sanjay Dutt.
Nobody likes Zema. What the hell is that? Why name yourself after a shitty alcoholic drink?
The weird thing is, they didn't plug this match at all on Impact, unless they did it in the 5 seconds I was fast-forwarding through the card.
Probably.
Yeah, they got a graphic. That was it. Like, yeah, I mean, remember these guys? Anyway, also on...
I forgot those guys worked there. Anyway.
Remember Sanjay Dutt when he had a tambourine?
Jeez.
The Hare Krishna.
The guru. That's what it was. The guru, Sanjay Dutt.
The suck guru.
Christopher Daniels and Kazarian versus AJ Styles and Kurt Angle. TNA tag titles on the line. Rob Van Dam versus Magnus. Austin Aries versus, yes, it says here, the arm breaker.
He didn't break his arm, though.
Oh, yeah, didn't even sprain his wrist properly, damn it.
Samoa Joe versus Jeff Hardy and James Storm versus Bully Ray in TNA No Surrender Bound for Glory series matches. The winners, I guess, how does this work? They face each other at the next Impact or something, or what?
Or is that...
or is it later on in the night?
They don't like to tell you these things. Hey, just pay them, you know, $60 and you'll find out. I have no clue. Oh.
And that's the entire card. And get the World Heavyweight Champion is on the card in a non-title match against the guy named the Armbreaker.
Yeah, it is kind of dumb, but what's the point of the tournament if Austin Aries isn't the champion, you know?
True.
That's the only thing I can say to defend it. Otherwise...
Don't they have a 30-day clause like WCW and the NWA used to have?
Yeah, whatever happened to that? That was the Hulk Hogan clause.
Well, yeah, but it's bound for glory, right? Like, they treat it like the WrestleMania. That's all I'm saying.
I get that. I mean... You still only got a month to build a match after the, you know, maybe even like 3 weeks. I don't know when Bound for Glory actually is.
It's sometime before
sometime
the end
in
of the
October.
Year.
All right. Any thoughts on Impact or tonight's No Surrender pay per view from anybody at all?
Anybody? Even the Arm Breaker?
Even the Arm Breaker, yeah. Bueller. Let's get the Arm Breaker on the show.
Bueller. I guess not.
All right.
I don't think he's allowed to talk without his voice modulator, so...
One day he's got...
Impact was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I don't know. There was some crappy moments, but overall, I thought it was a fun watch. It wasn't 3 hours, and that always helps, so...
Yeah, it goes by quicker. I want to see that guy turn up the voice modulator a little too much. And it's, you know, when you're listening to him, it's like you're trying to watch Trainspotting over again.
It'll malfunction on him. He'll be like the dog from Up, Alpha. The high pitch.
Jeez. God forbid the day I got to turn my subtitles on my TV, my closed captioning, just to listen to these guys.
So George, I've seen some of the masks that you've worn on stage.
Yes.
Are you a part of the Aces and Eights?
I am not of liberty to discuss that at this time. Do not mind the voice modulator.
We could get you a voice effect if you like.
Well, shit, you know, if we should have talked about this before the show, because then I would have liked that. You know, come out as different people and stuff like that. But
yeah, the only one I really ever use is the robot.
I am not in the Aces and Eights. I am not the Arm Breaker, nor am I the Ball Breaker.
Arm Breaker didn't have tattoos, so yeah. That means it's not you or Luke Gallows.
Luke Gallows, oh God. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
All right, so SmackDown. Alberto Del Rio and David Otunga and Ricardo Rodriguez is in his neck brace. They're leaving Booker T's office. And,
terrible.
Then they all come to the ring, and Alberto talks about his wins over John Cena and Randy Orton and Kane.
God.
At night of matches you've already seen on Raw and SmackDown like 4,928 times already, he will face Sheamus again for the World Heavyweight title. But he wants the brogue kick to be banned.
Oh, Jesus.
And David Otunga, coffee mug man!
Oh, what a fuck.
He shows the brogue kick package. And trying to convince Booker T, but Booker T comes out and he says what they had spoken about prior Green Day was confidential. Oh, before the Green Day song that they constantly play on the SmackDown.
David Otunga, or as I like to call him, Virgil Light.
Anyway, it was supposed to be confidential, so because they came out and started talking about it, he leaves it to the WWE Universe, and they say, no, the brogue kick should not be, or should still be legal.
Mm-hmm. Rightfully so.
Crowd grabs shovels and lollipops in agreement with Booker T as he leaves. Wait, I gotta refresh this, because my browser doesn't like to show animated GIFs sometimes, so I gotta see.
You're gonna like this one.
Heaven born Randy Orton one here.
Oh, Jesus.
If my computer decides it wants to show it to me. I've already seen the Samoa Joe one. Just from what we've got here, we don't need to... Oh, there we go. There, it's moving now. Oh.
Whoa! Hey! Oh, wow! Is this part of that China DVD? Just wondering.
Scene number three, actually. It's,
I thought it was going to be part of the outtakes.
Here's the question. If we go to our store on boardwrestlingfan.com, is that available through our Amazon store? Will we make some money off of this?
Yeah, is there a way to score that? Make a little bit of overhead on that.
Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara versus The Miz and Cody Rhodes. And let's see. Mysterio takes out The Miz, and he wins one for the Luchas.
The Luchas.
Let's see, what's this gif here, or this graphic? Got called a racist by an irate Home Depot customer today when I pointed out that he wasn't being served because he was in the pickup line. He knows my type. I discriminate against those who don't notice large signs.
That's great.
That is good stuff. Daniel Bryan.
My buddy's too.
Is it?
I know funny people.
It's a good thing.
Daniel Bryan's backstage. He's trying to stay calm. Hornswoggle says, hey, let's hug it out. And they shake hands, and Hornswoggle kicks him in the shin and runs away. Gee, I have to agree with your sentiment. Who is the heel here? I mean, Hornswoggle's just a little douchebag. I mean,
well, he's not really a heel. He's more like the toe. He's really small.
David Otunga is still trying to convince Booker T the brogue kick should be illegal. He shows him pictures now of people getting hit with the brogue kick.
They should have got out of the way. Bastards.
Let's see. Daniel Bryan versus Zack Ryder. One of Kane. They called him one of Kane's... how did they word that? It was one of Kane's greatest opponents or something like that. I don't know. It was something along those lines.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Brian gets in the LaBelle lock. He wins the match, but he's angry. Oh, there was the hug it out spot in the middle of the match, too.
Of course.
He hugs him, and then he locks him in the LaBelle lock, or the no lock, or whatever you want to call it. And Brian will not release the hold, so the referee reverses the decision. Zack Ryder won a match.
Oh, no way.
That's two. Two this week.
Zack Ryder won a match. That is two this week. He beat Heath Slater on Raw.
Yeah, but Zack Ryder beat somebody credible.
He beat somebody credible. But it was by disqualification. Yeah. By disqualification.
He didn't even have to do anything except Brian just sit there and suck.
Brian has a breakdown in the middle of the ring. No, no, no.
No. What a schmuck. God.
Damian Sandow cuts a promo. He lost a match via countout, mind you, to Booker Sheamus because Booker T forced him into a match without proper time to assess his opponent, and he has yet to be pinned And then he goes on a rant about social media. He denounces being called a coward.
No, he didn't win by count out. He lost by ran out.
The anonymous people who send their opinions via social media are the real cowards, which, yeah, that is a pretty accurate statement.
Yeah.
Is that... That's The Rock and Mankind playing the N64.
The Rock and Sock.
We did have a crossover with our video game people the other day.
Nice.
Check it out. This past Tuesday, we WonderPod invaded Board Wrestling Fan Radio. I still haven't heard the whole thing. I was here for part of it. Anyways, instead of tweeting, how about reading? When Albert Einstein discovered the theory of relativity, I assure you he did not tout about it. Then Randall, Keith, Orton, cuts off. And Orton comes out and he cuts a promo and everybody falls asleep and Booker T makes the match. No, Booker T made the match. Randy Orton asked, oh, you know, my opponent for this week, we can forget about that. We'll worry about that later, but right now I want to wrestle you. And Sandow didn't have time to prepare.
Of course.
Sandow put up a pretty damn good fight. He reversed a few of Orton's big spots, you know. And finally, he ran out.
He did it again.
Ran out again.
Feet still kill me now.
He is not craven. He is intelligent because he did not have significant time to prepare for this matchup.
So is that Sandow's finisher? I guess. The holy fuck, I'm getting out of here.
And then in another instance of who's the heel and who's the face, Dolph Ziggler was on commentary for the match. Okay. He's putting over Orton as great opponent and you know, telling Orton, hey, you should keep your eyes on your opponent, man. I'm just here to talk. And Ziggler goes to leave. He's walking out towards the exit. Orton gets out of the ring and punches him in the face. Throws him back in the ring. And Ziggler escapes before he could get an RKO. But that's because Sandow ran back in and caught the RKO. So, score a victory for Randall, Keith, Orton.
Captain Roboto.
I am Orton.
Oh, man.
Hey, the Jets are now up 34-7 on the Bills.
Figure.
You gotta love it. We'll give you the, for those of you listening, which there are zero of you, we'll give you the football scores right now. Chicago up 24-14 over Indianapolis in the third quarter. Third quarter, Philadelphia 10-3 over Cleveland. Third quarter, tied 13-13 St. Louis and Detroit. Miami trailing Houston 24-10 third quarter. Atlanta 34-17 over Kansas City. Minnesota 14-12 over Jacksonville. Washington 27-14 over New Orleans, 34-7 the Jets over the Bills, and New England 21-10 over the Titans, all in the third quarter. And yeah. Houston's in the red zone now.
Jesus.
That's for our zero current listeners on Mixler.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Buffalo Bills do suck donkey dick.
We only actually get listeners when Wrestler Monkey is on.
Oh, I'm going to change that shit up real quick. Let people listen to some of this podcast and see how us four wonderful gentlemen interact. And we'll get some listeners. Don't worry. They'll find out. Oh shit.
I don't think he meant to do that. Watching the animated. If you guys can check out G's SmackDown reviews right here on BoardWrestlingFan.com. They're also on WonderPod. And you could see this girl get kicked right in the side of the head.
Oh, dude, was that RVD's kid doing that or something? Holy crap.
Primetime Players versus Epico and Primo versus the Usos with Little Jimmy on commentary along with Truth and Kofi.
Little Jimmy.
And, you know, it was kind of, it was what you'd expect out of a, you know, triple threat tag team match.
You gotta have enough time for everybody's spots.
But the prime time players pick up the victory, and you gotta get those millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. Unstoppable like Kobe Bryant at a hotel.
The Denver hotel room. Yeah. What? Yeah, what is that dude gone now? Has he been
fired? He got fired.
I knew it.
Oh, you missed, you should have been here the last few weeks. You could have heard all the ranting from from Brian Josie, the former AW.
Oh, really? He had to say one stupid damn thing, and that got him out. That got him fired.
Let's see. We get a ton of Raw recaps. What else is new?
Yeah, of course.
We get Eve touting about the lawsuit, a pending lawsuit that David Otunga wants to bring about to Booker T. We get Yoshitatsu in the ring, and his opponent is Return of Wade Barrett. Oh, God. Wade Barrett. Did you see that finishing move?
Oh, I did not get a chance to see that.
It was like a short arm clothesline, but elbow.
With an elbow. Oh! Fantastic.
That was brutal. Wade Barrett is back.
Yeah,
he's open for business.
Now he's got a friggin' stubble beard, and he's all of a sudden a badass.
Wade Barrett, he comes in and he says, he gets on the mic afterwards. He says, "I didn't come back for a pathetic match like that. So if I'm not going to be in the title picture, I'm issuing an open challenge. Wade Barrett is open for business."
He's open. The fuck is he? 7-Eleven? In that case, get me a Slurpee, jackass.
Ah, Slurpees.
I know, it's going to haunt you for a while.
Oh, boy.
That just sucks.
32-ounce Slurpee in 10 minutes. I can do it.
Oh, dude.
I'll be all right.
Pace yourself, that's all.
What flavor are you going to pick, man?
I don't know. I'm gonna have to decide when I go to 7-Eleven. I haven't bought a Slurpee from that particular 7-Eleven, so who knows what flavors they have.
I would say try a little bit of each one. Just pour like a different layer of each one and just go nuts.
You know what I had the other day was the cherry limeade.
Yeah, how was that?
That's actually pretty good. I think that might be the choice.
Either that or go for that orange explosion.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll figure that out when Wednesday comes.
Yes.
Noah's Ark Show, Wednesdays, 6 p.m., allwnoiradio.com.
With, I'm going to send the spoiler here, the possible return of Shameless Johnny.
Really? Huh? Oh, if Shameless John is going to be on the show, nobody wants to miss that.
Oh yeah, I've been talking to him. He thought he's been talking about possibly returning for one more episode.
Awesome, awesome.
So, we'll see.
Right. Finally, our main event of the evening: Sheamus versus David Otunga. This was made. David Otunga was showing Booker T the differences between a normal neck and Ricardo Rodriguez's neck after the brogue kick.
He looks like Igor, for Christ's sakes. He's supposed to have a short neck.
Our own Drow Goddess used to call him Eduardo Munster.
So good.
So anyway, Sheamus is beating down Otunga, and he hits the white noise, and he sets up for the brogue kick, and Booker T comes out and says, "Hey, wait a minute. Nope, can't use it. Sorry, it's banned."
Give me a fucking break.
So Sheamus wins with the Texas Cloverleaf. Get it? Clover? Irish?
The mayonnaise cloverleaf. Dude, wow.
An Irish guy using the cloverleaf. Gee, that's clever.
Wow. Holy stereotype Batman.
I do want to point out, because I'm seeing it in G's review here, that you can actually call us, leave us a voicemail, we'll play it on the air at 716-HOGAN-97. The only person that's ever left us a voicemail so far is JT.
Oh,
that was bad, too.
It was. It was like...
I had a migraine like right before I did it. And I'm like, oh god, I gotta do this, and I'm like, ugh.
And it was pay per view predictions, and you were supposed to say after everyone, that's all I have to say about that. So the entire time we're doing this, we're just like, did JT just watch Forrest Gump?
Well, that's what G told me. I did what G told me.
Is JT gonna run cross country back and forth until he gets tired now?
I gotta pee.
Oh boy.
I had to eat 15 Dr. Peppers that day. They was all free.
Oh man, alright.
Oh man.
BWF and our document here for BWF 39.
It's 41-7 now, guys.
Oh jeez.
God damn it.
And it's still early in the third quarter.
Oh boy. So much for a good start like last season, huh? For the Buffalo Bills.
Fucking suck. All right. They're vindicating the Jets. Now, do you realize what this means? This means that ESPN is going to have nothing but Jets highlights for the next week.
You're probably right.
That's all they're going to do. And it's going to bother me because I actually like watching ESPN once in a great while.
I forgot to do this before the show. I wanted to get everybody to say Noah is a drunk. We'll do that after the show.
I was going to say, clips. Making me do it is it's just redundant.
You're on the show to tell him he's a drunk.
I got enough time to do it.
We got some good ones over the last week. I liked Professor Salmon from our Slam Jam, which we don't have a copy of the Slam Jam for this week yet, so it's not going to be bonus content.
Damn.
On this week's episode, but Professor Salmon from Slam Jam, he's like, I'm sitting here in a nice, peaceful field on a grassy hill. There's a crow across the street, and Noah is a drunk. It's just great stuff.
Oh, I loved it. And the funny thing was, Noah was actually perpetuating it all. He was drinking heavily that day.
I just saw this. The first piece of news that G has listed here is CM Punk... at 8 years old on the Bozo the Clown show.
Oh, no.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. 2.5 minutes here. We're going to...
Oh, baby.
This is a news report of CM Punk on the Bozo the Clown show.
Oh, sweet.
I got a letter and some video from a Chicago public school teacher named Chris Kowalski. And she says, I am the aunt of WWE professional wrestler CM Punk, a.k.a. Phil Brooks. In 1986, my family finally got the chance to go down to the Bozo show after waiting 10 years for tickets. I was 19, and my nephews, Michael and Philip, were 10 and 8. Anyway, Phil was chosen to play the game at the end of the show. Not only did Phil win the game, this is CM Punk, Phil.
Yeah.
But he exhibited what will be his trademark humor and cockiness. I think he was destined for the world of the WWE. Okay, this is what the wrestler CM Punk looks like now. And here he is on the old Bozo show back in 1986. CM Punk is the boy who is to the right of Joey DeOrean. Take a look.
When the music stops, it's eliminated. You got it? So you don't want to be wearing this when the music stops. Huh?
You don't got an interesting how can you
eliminate? That's good. I'll do the jokes, okay?
Best of the world!
Yeah, you start. Bozo, I think your son is here. Anyway, go! Are you? What am I looking?
I don't know.
To the right of Joey, there's...
Ooh. Now, Joey is Bozo, so yeah. I think he was the kid to the right of the other
guy. It's coming up here.
Here we go. One...
This is a fun game, though.
There he is, the kid that won right there. That's CM Punk.
Ladies wow. and gentlemen, the comedian is our winner right here.
Wow, he hates that kid.
Stop that. Now go on.
It's you. It looks really sweet.
Not hers.
Oh, is it hers?
Yeah.
There you go.
He's
okay.
Silly. Yeah, here, you hold
He's
on to that.
He's a douchebag.
Okay. Well, what he won. He won a new and exciting game from Parker Brothers called Don't Wake the Dragon.
Here's an exciting match game of cards and dice by the makers of Uno. You know what it's called?
No, what's it called?
Luck Plus.
Oh.
And it's for the other players. What do you think of that?
Please. But wait, there's more. Everyone is going to get look at this.
What is it?
It's a brand new shampoo. It's called Created. It's for kids. And it has a no tears formula. And this one is bubblegum scented. One
for everybody. Holy shit.
Take every Bozo video. Send it to us, would you?
Popcorn.
Oh,
wow.
Can.
Best hat pass player in the world.
Yay. Give him the respect he deserves.
I don't know, Chris Jericho. I mean, CM Punk might be the best in the world at everything he does. He won on Bozo the Clown. I mean,
he's proving it. Meanwhile, Chris Jericho is playing the half empty wherever he's playing with Fozzy.
Actually, he's playing the upper, and it's not half empty.
Not anymore, huh?
JT was there last week.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I was at the one in. On the 25th of August.
Oh, okay.
Got to meet Chris Jericho and everything.
Oh, sweet.
There was about... They headlined. See, we didn't have all the bands because POD played like a month before.
Oh.
So POD, they came on before POD, were supposed to come on before POD, so they ended up actually doing in POD spots, so there's probably about 2,000 people there.
Huh.
To see them play, so.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I think when they, when Uproar came here, I guess Papa Roach couldn't make it, because.
Yeah, Papa Roach had to back out the tour, because Jacoby's vocal cords
They finally gave up.
Yeah, he had to have surgery.
That's some serious stuff. So I know he's probably not listening, but I wish him the best of luck in his recovery from his vocal cord procedure. I have a heart, goddammit, okay? I'm not all just fun and games, I guess.
Yeah, I actually picked up Sin and Bones just a couple of days ago. It's a great album.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. I have two copies.
He does. He's got the t-shirt and everything.
Both my copies came with signed merchandise from the band.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I saw it for $5. It's one of the $5 MP3 albums this week on Amazon, or this month, rather, and I happened to get a $5 credit, because I'm flat broke this month, otherwise I would have just paid the $5. Got a $5 credit, I downloaded the album. That last song on the album, man, that song is epic. I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head.
Nice.
But really enjoyed especially that last song, but the album was really good.
Nice.
Yeah, if you, I don't know if they've changed it, but if you get some money on iTunes, I've got two bonus tracks, and one of them is Fairies Wear Boots, the cover of the Black Sabbath song.
Oh, cool.
Sweet. Very, very cool.
I got mine through Amazon, so I just got the standard album release.
Storm the Beaches, that's the name.
Storm the Beaches, it's a cool song, man. It's a long song. It's really, really cool. Like, when it first started, I'm like, what the hell is this? What's Jericho trying to do here? And then when the song started picking up, it's like, holy crap, this song is cool. Cameron Arianna Andrew was not suspended 15 days for her DUI, as many WWE superstars have had a DUI. She was actually suspended by the office for them finding out on the internet instead of finding out from her. If police add a bribery charge, though, her suspension may go up. Brodus Clay, meanwhile, may be kept off television until her suspension is over.
He doesn't need two broads with him, all right? He can just go with one for now. Just keep
putting that's why the hug segment went so long. They bumped the Brodus Clay segment for it.
Shit. I wanted to see that big fat guy get down.
If you're a fan of Brodus Clay, you'd love any band that George is in.
Yes, that's right. A fat guy getting down. A fat, hairy guy, nonetheless. Making a complete arse out of himself. For the amusement of others.
Meanwhile, WWE is getting tired of the number of DUIs wrestlers are getting in Tampa, which is yet another reason they're considering moving the developmental to Stamford, something that's been rumored for most of the year.
Yeah, then they can get DUIs there.
Oh, they got a nice little setup down there at Full Sail University for NXT. So
nice.
Yeah, but at Stamford, they have all the cops on their payroll, so
true.
It makes more sense.
Yeah.
They can get right out of it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's like DUI. Well,
the reason that I heard they wanted to move it from Tampa to Stamford is because Stamford is obviously less of a party town than Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
So the temptation would be less less prominent in Stamford than it would be in Tampa. So I don't know. Nice. They got a good thing going, Full Sail University down there. I like the NXT, the feel of the NXT tapings.
Absolutely. Good stuff.
Oh, here we go. Former Abraham Washington is upset at the hypocrisy of WWE for not firing Cameron after her DUI. This is from his Twitter account, at BJRatedR.
Oh, jeez.
So a dancer in the WWE gets a DUI and is suspended by WWE for only 15 days, while at BJ Rated R gets fired for speaking his mind. Hashtag BS. AW gets fired for a dated joke. Cameron gets 15 days for drink driving and attempted bribery. Hashtag LOL justice. As I said before, at WWE allows you to disgrace other countries' flags, have DUIs, smoke marijuana, and do steroids, but you can't speak your mind.
Nope.
To those who don't know, I was fired for tweeting, support Linda. I also tweeted, voter die for Linda. Vince didn't get it.
He thought he meant vote or Linda dies.
Right. Linda Mac's campaign is pretty important. Vince has spent a lot of your money on his wife. The at WWE superstars aren't getting the money. Ask JTG.
Oh, yeah, whatever happened to that guy?
JTG blasted their ass on Twitter, and they went on damage control quick. At WWE has something to hide. You didn't see the animated GIF earlier? JTG making fun of Brodus Clay?
Oh, okay.
That was right after he blasted them on Twitter. And they were like, oh, we hear you're upset. We're going to put you in a match right now.
Oh, Christ. That's fantastic. This guy's got a lot to say, apparently. Good for him.
George, you haven't really been on the show much. Have you heard about this? The WWE, they're making a Scooby-Doo cartoon with the WWE superstars set at WrestleMania. I don't know if you've heard about this.
Wow, I have not.
Okay. AJ Lee talks about the Scooby-Doo. She says, oh my gosh, there's definitely a checklist of amazing life experience milestone, and being immortalized in a cartoon character is certainly bizarre. We did the voiceovers, and I hit on Scooby and Shaggy, so this is the most bizarre moment of my life. This is pretty cool. Go ahead, G, read your line.
No, AJ won't settle for humans. Now he go after a Stone Cold cartoon character and his dog. Ooby dooby doo.
Rory, shit.
Ruh-roh.
Nobody wants to go for a crazy broad, so she's got to try and get laid through cartoons.
She's going to hook up with Shaggy and Scooby.
Zoinks!
Jinkies!
Zoinks, yo!
Oh, boy.
And this sets up for yet another wrestling porn.
Adam Copeland, better known as Edge, will be at Dave and Buster's on October 7th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, with Tommy Dreamer from 2 to 5 p.m. For $100, you get a photo and one autograph.
Holy shit. What, you got to choose between Edge and Tommy Dreamer?
You get a photo, and you have to pay. And I thought Brutus Beefcake was greedy, man. I mean, $100, jeez.
No, you don't even know which autograph you get. You just got to pick out of a bag, and you hope you get there. You hope you get Edge's autograph.
You have to answer this question correctly. What is the capital of North Dakota?
What is your name? What is your quest? What is the capital of Assyria?
Wow.
Jericho only charges 20. Then you get to meet the whole band.
That's because he makes money.
Jeff Hardy charged us 20, and that was for all of us to... That was for anybody in your group to meet Jeff Hardy. It was 20 bucks.
Well, it was the same thing with the Dudleys.
When you met the Dudleys, right, yeah.
You know, it was both of us got, both me and my stepfather got to go meet him.
That's not bad. But $100?
It's just Tommy Dreamer and Edge. It's not like...
It's not Hogan. It's not Sting. It's not Flair. You know, it's Edge. Edge, yeah, one of the greatest of all time. Give him that, definitely. $100.
I just
plus whatever you have to pay to do whatever you're doing at Dave and Buster's. I mean, come on.
I'd rather pay $100 to see Jake the Snake do heroin.
You don't have to.
I don't disagree with that.
Well, at least you know the money's going to go to something good.
Right. Just go watch Beyond the Mat.
It's on Netflix, man.
That's true. I can save myself the money and the trip.
We got a funny little Jake the Snake news story at the very end of this particular episode.
Oh, you did get that? Okay, good. I was wondering about that.
I didn't copy the entire thing. I kind of truncated it because it's long. But it's
I thought I was going to have to go back and find it because I actually saw it. But let's get into our next story. Listen.
Wait, hold on a second, guys. The comeback has begun. Buffalo has now cut the lead to 41-14.
Man, I'm glad I'm not a Bills fan.
Woo! I'm glad I don't admit it.
My team starts after the show's over today. So. Holy
shit. My team doesn't play until tomorrow night when I go to bed.
Yeah, see, the Bills at least have the honor of being the team that's probably going to get blown out the worst this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know, because Miami's doing pretty well themselves.
Let's see.
It is 30-10 as opposed to, you know, it's now the Bills are still down by more.
Yeah, yeah. See, there's still an 11-point differential between those two.
Indy's also down by 20 right now.
Yeah, that's expected, though.
Okay. So, I got to give all the credit in the world to The Rock. The Rock may be an actor. The Rock may be a WWE superstar. The Rock is a real-life action hero. The Rock stopped a robbery on the set of Fast 6. It was so funny. The Rock looked like an action hero because he had his flak jacket on and an FBI badge in his hand. All of a sudden, there was loads of gunfire, and this giant dressed as a copper police officer was about to mow them down. The lads jumped out of their skin and scampered off down the canal path and left the crew in peace. Now the crew are joking that they should drop security and just have The Rock do it. The Rock stopped robbers!
If I saw a dude that big come running at me in a cop's uniform, I'd run too.
No. Yeah.
I'd shit my pants, run and ask questions later.
You just stole what I was going to say. I'd be the first guy to be able to shit his pants while running full speed. And what I'd be doing is I'd be trying to fling my shit back at him like a monkey.
Oh, man,
just
The
to
Rock.
Slow him down.
The Rock, yes, a real-life superhero now.
Wow.
Real-life action hero.
What the shit?
Our spelling champion, Kenny! If you're wondering where he's been lately, former WWE wrestler Kenny Dykstra is reportedly enrolled in Nichols College in Massachusetts and is playing as a freshman on the school's football team as a tight end. Kenny!
We always knew he'd be a tight end.
Your new WWE champion is Kenny!
Oh my god, they killed Kenny.
You bastards! That moment led to one of my favorite Raw moments of all time, because that was where the Joey Styles shoot promo happened. Was right after that.
Dude, I honestly the other day was wondering where the fuck that guy's been, because he got a good push after the Spirit Squad dissipated, and then that was it.
You haven't been listening to the show. He supposedly got let go because John Cena was banging his fiance.
Ooh!
Mickey James.
Oh, even worse.
This is news to George.
Damn straight.
That's where the spelling champion thing comes from, because Kenny's been all over Twitter about this.
He gets let go because the face of the company's fucking his girl?
Yep.
Oh, now I hate Cena that much more. What a douche nozzle.
If you want to be a super fan... If you want to be like Markout Man, a.k.a. the Brock Lesnar superfan from the Raw following this year's WrestleMania, how much does this guy spend on a ringside ticket for Night of Champions? G is a super sleuth, man. G, tell us. How much does this guy spend on tickets?
Approximately $402 American.
$402.
Yeah.
$402. Looking at the ticket, part of the ticket stub, row 1, seat 12. On the floor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, $402, yeah, okay, that makes sense. But, I mean, this dude's at every freaking show.
Oh, shit.
I think we were talking about it last week. Didn't we find out this guy works at, like, McDonald's or something? I mean,
what, is he selling blood and semen? Not mixed together, of course.
Well, yeah, but...
He's selling the Load album cover.
He's trying.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh.
He works at a grocery... job of some kind. I'm not sure if it's at a store or a warehouse, but
this guy's got $402 to spend on Night of Champions tickets, plus he's going to travel to Boston for the Night of Champions. How come I can't do this? I'm making more than he is, presumably.
Dude.
Like he said.
No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, for that $402, if he agrees to kill John Cena while he's at ringside, I will pay him. I will pay for that ticket and all of his airfare. I will pay for all of his expenses on that trip to Boston. I hope this dude finds out somehow. If he can kill John Cena at the event, I will pay for all of his expenses.
I could send him a message on Facebook for you. This is my friend's message.
I would appreciate it if you could. And $402, isn't that, with the exchange rate, isn't that like $100 Canadian?
No, it's actually like $700 Canadian. Our money's worth less than theirs now.
Yeah. That's why I was saying it's like $100 Canadian, because then our money sucks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry.
I used to get such a good exchange rate. Now it's like, Jesus, I can't even afford to go to Canada anymore. What the hell?
Eve won the Stars and Stripes reality show and a total of $150,000 for the USO. Well.
Well.
She asks how many fucks are given. Apparently a few, and this show was going head-to-head with the first hour of Raw in the U.S. The final episode of Stars Earn Stripes, with Eve Torres getting the win, did 2.88 million viewers. She talks about it with WWE.com. I think being a WWE diva is a tough job. There's lots that we do that's not seen on television. Constantly working and trying to better ourselves. And I really think that hard work and dedication from being a WWE diva is probably what set me apart from the other competitors.
In other news, China's porn film came out this week.
I think that would be more enjoyable to watch than that shit.
I'm actually surprised that a WWE person goes on one of these shows and actually won. Because every other time, they always get the WWE person out as soon as they possibly can.
I'm the best in the world at what I do, and what I do is losing on reality shows.
They're not good at reality.
He lost on The Voice. He lost on Dancing with the Stars. Not The Voice. What was the other one? Singing with the Stars. Oh, he lost on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, my Lord. That's just
because
awful.
He wasn't playing the right type of game, you know. He should have been switching hats with a little girl. That's how you win.
wasn't one of them on the Apprentice too?
Oh, Maria.
Yeah, Maria.
Whatever the hell her last name is, Kim at Doobie Doobie.
Yeah,
Maria Kanellis.
Doobie Doobie Doo.
No, thank you.
The one whose Playboy shoot was so horrible, Playboy wanted to do nothing more with them.
Yeah, wasn't she? She's the one that killed it, didn't she?
Yeah.
It was. That bitch. Hey, China's wasn't that great either. Okay, I'm sorry, but you know,
which one? The first or the second one? I got both.
Can we go with both? I have them too. I mean, yeah, it was a big step for Playboy to feature a transsexual in its editions, but.
They were doing good things for society too with that.
They were. They felt generous, but I mean then they went upwards after her, you know, Sable.
Anybody that
Tori
bought
Wilson.
That issue can prove Sable, they only bought Sable, it to read the articles.
Yeah.
Sable was before China. Was the reason why they did it after that.
And then China almost fucked it up, but then they got it. Then they got better. You know, they did Christy Hemme, Tori Wilson.
And then they did Tori and Sable.
Yep, which actually that was good. That was very good. And Ashley, the former WWE diva, that wasn't too bad. And then Maria.
Oh yeah, and then there was Candice Michelle too, right?
Oh yeah. Forget about her too. Jeez, she was hot too. My God, and then yeah, you want to know why? It's because Maria doesn't have the breast implants. And I think it was because of that ruined it. She needs those big old fake hooters.
I don't think it's that. I think when she went to the red hair, she went to the complete red hair. It was just the red hair. When she went red hair, it's just something went down. She went down a level.
She ruined it for everyone. Thanks a lot, Ashley. Not Ashley, I mean Maria, you bitch. I'm waiting for the knockouts to be featured in Playboy. That's what I'm waiting on, because I'm a long time subscriber and I'm putting in my votes now. I'm making a request, damn it.
All right.
Anyways, we'll go back on the topic here.
Yeah. In case you missed it on SmackDown, Bret Hart confirmed he will be at Raw on Monday. Yes, I was asked by WWE to be in Montreal this Monday, and I'll be there. That's one off the bucket list. That's from Brett's Twitter.
Let's just hope he's used the right way and not as like a joke or a comic relief or something, because there ain't much funny about Bret Hart. He's a serious guy. And
of course he's serious. He's from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
I'm excited.
And you know everybody from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, is a serious guy. Right, G?
Damn right.
Oh, no.
He will be used, I think, with CM Punk. It's pretty much a given.
Oh.
Whether it's a beatdown or not, I don't know, because the guy is injured and all, but this thing kind of writes itself, right? The best there is, the best there, or best there was, best there is, best there ever will be. It's going to be something along the lines of that. I mean, I don't see what else they could do. And it's Montreal, man. He hasn't been in Montreal since the screw job, right?
Apparently not.
So there you go. Nice. I don't see this as a coincidence at all. I think this is it's going to be a pretty epic little bit with him and Heyman and Punk. I'm expecting something good. Don't fuck it up, WWE.
Don't fuck. I hope you're listening.
Are you serious?
You son of a bitch.
I always tell people on this show and on other wrestling sites, don't give WWE any ideas, because they will see some of the most ridiculous joking crap.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, shit, that's a good idea. Let's write that.
Okay. WWE, I want Brodus Clay to eat Hornswoggle. Thank you.
In the middle of the ring as a segment.
Yeah.
I want there to be a table. I want it to be set up like Thanksgiving dinner, okay?
They could do it on Thanksgiving.
Yes, the Survivor Series, even.
The SmackDown after Thanksgiving. Or the Raw before.
Or how about this, even better?
They could do it. Let's do it on Canadian Thanksgiving. Then maybe we get out of the way earlier.
What is it, tomorrow?
Gee, when is Canadian Thanksgiving?
It's when we celebrate Columbus Day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like second week of October. And oh man, I'm looking forward to getting fatter. It's going to be good.
That sounds like every day for me.
Floyd Mayweather Jr., Pete Rose, Jenny McCarthy, and Mr. T are all planned to be part of WrestleMania 29.
You know exactly what's going to happen with Pete Rose, right?
Oh, of course.
He's going to hug it out with Kane.
I don't think they can carry this hug it out shit any longer, and that far into next year.
We've got Seth Rollins accepted Cody Rhodes' challenge via tout. Let's listen in.
Seth Rollins.
September 14th, Fort Pierce, Florida. NXT Live, Rollins versus Rhodes. Cody, I accept your challenge. Welcome to the future, my friend.
NXT champion Seth Rollins. One of my favorite guys on NXT. He's going to be taking on Cody Rhodes at the next tapings. All right.
Next. And JT, Seth Rollins is Tyler Black, also known as Mr. Black from the Simpsons episode.
Mr. Black.
Dude, that guy sounded so weird. It's like, next time I see you, we're going to fight. He was like taking breaths in between every fucking word. It just kind of got annoying for a second. Sorry, guys. I'm off on a little bit of a tangent.
Seth Rollins is he's really cool, man. He's the heavy metal guy in NXT. Nice. Comes out, the strobe lights blaring, he's headbanging everywhere.
I like the title. It's pretty cool.
Title looks cool. NXT Championship.
Nice.
The Miz is also touting, so let's check in with The Miz.
No.
My fellow Americans, forget Obama, forget Romney, Miz for president.
I'm down with that. I'll vote Miz for president. I personally think that would be awesome.
Well, at least WWE's getting it right this year, because when they had Bob Backlund do it, they did it like a year and a half before the next election anyway.
Well, you know, Bob Backlund is a geriatric. I mean, they had to give him enough time to make it around, make the rounds of all the nursing homes to get votes.
All right. You ready to feel bad about not being not deciding to be a professional wrestler?
Sure.
Because these are the wealthiest wrestlers.
Oh.
Mick Foley is number 10. He's worth $15 million.
Holy bejesus.
Number 9 is The Undertaker, worth $16 million. Number 8 is Shawn Michaels, worth $17 million. I sense a pattern. Yes. Number 7 is Chris Jericho. He's worth $18 million. Kurt Angle at number 6 is worth $20 million. Number 5 is Triple H, worth $25 million. Number 4, The Big Show. He's worth $30 million. John Cena is number 3, $35 million. Stone Cold Steve Austin is number 2, worth $45 million.
What the hell is he doing to get that kind of money?
And number 1, $70 million he's worth, The Rock.
That's because he made about 70 movies this year.
He's worth $70 million and he's still fighting crime for a living. He's freaking Bruce Wayne, man. The Rock is Batman.
No, he's the Tooth Fairy. Don't get it mixed up. I'm the Tooth Fairy. And his bane is cavities.
Leave it to The Rock to be in a movie with to be in a hockey movie that features not much hockey.
And him wearing wings.
And a tutu.
Yes, yes. The he queered it up real nice.
Luke Gallows has officially signed with TNA. He says, "They have officially signed my TNA contract. Thank you to all my family, friends, and fans for their support, and I'm looking forward to this new opportunity." That's from his official Facebook. It's facebook.com/official Luke Gallows.
So that's the big TNA signing, huh? Festus?
Festus, yeah.
They signed
Luke,
Festus.
Luke Gallows. He is not the arm breaker because no. He didn't have that big giant tattoo on his arm.
That's true. But Luke Gallows.
Soon to be X Division champion, Luke Gallows.
Fantastic.
Right. Soon to beat Kurt Angle and hold all TNA titles at one time.
He's going to be the one man, four horsemen.
Eventually, one of these days, I'm going to read that entire Kurt Angle intro on the show. It's going to take up the entire 2 hours.
That's awesome.
All right, let's see here. What else? Jake the Snake Roberts doesn't like snakes. No, I hated the sons of bitches. I'm terrified of them. I came up with the idea. In Mid-South, I wanted to use a snake, and Bill Watts was quick to tell me that this isn't a damn circus. We're not going to have any circus clowns or circus geeks carrying snakes. Gee, he was so right. What a stupid idea. The WWF had come back with it. They said, "Have you thought about this before?" I said, "Well, Jake the Snake kind of fits." They said, "Well, good. You're going to carry a snake." I said, "No problem." Not thinking that I was terrified of them, and I hated the sons of bitches. Next thing you know, I've got a damn snake. They supplied them. There was a guy in Stamford, Connecticut named Albert that supplied all the snakes. What a miserable damn job that was, carrying a 100-pound snake in a box and carrying my wrestling gear and clothes. And he went on to talk about, like, they wanted them to wear the fuchsia and the, you know, teal and lace-up boots, and he didn't want to wear lace-up boots because he liked pull-on boots and shit like that. He didn't want to spend half of his life tying boots. I actually read this, so yeah.
Well, okay. He might have said that, but really what he's thinking in his mind, well, you know what, if it'll pay for my blow...
Well, I mean, you gotta remember, Jake the Snake didn't get into all that shit until Honky Tonk Man hit him with a real guitar.
If it'll keep me on a first name basis with my drug dealer. Oh, wow. Well, I wonder just how fucking scared he was when he had to handle a cobra when he had that whole thing with the Macho Man back in the day.
Yeah, because I know, right?
Dude, if you don't like snakes, that's like the one big one you better not be screwing with. But I don't know.
All right, let's see. What else do we got? Oh, I have the music video that's going to start off tonight's No Surrender pay-per-view, featuring the semifinals and finals of the Bound for Glory series. But just looking at it, it kind of looks like it's the same video they showed on Impact with the Taproot song.
Oh, yeah.
At least it's not Trust Company.
Oh, God.
Those guys sucked.
Dude, they suck out loud.
WWE has removed Cameron from a signing with Brodus Clay and Naomi at Steiner Sports Store in Garden City, New York, on September 22nd, within the last day, as Cameron has remained listed since her suspension. It says list-tied on here, on the site I'm reading.
Apparently Kenny's not involved in the spelling mistakes.
Cameron will be able to return to work after September 14th, and this appearance is 8 days later. So that's interesting.
Wow.
She might have gotten in trouble for that bribe. Attempted bribe.
She's fucked. Without the benefit of sex.
Did you hear the whole story on that? I know you, like I said, you haven't been with us, so.
No.
I'll tell you the story is Cameron got pulled over for a DUI in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't list WWE as her employer when she was being arraigned. She tried to offer the police officer $10,000 to let her go because she was worried she'd get in trouble with her employer.
Wow.
And as you can see, that backfired.
Oh, that went over like a fart in church.
Wow. Kane took part in an interview with the Times of India, who was in India last week with WWE diva Eve Torres doing promotional work for WWE. Below are the highlights. Kane says, what we do is athletic, basically. There were days when the guys were huge and bulky with bellies, but now we have to be in good shape. We have to have pretty good endurance. I've been pretty fortunate as far as injuries are concerned. I've had minor injuries, torn a bicep, broken a hand. It's the worst for some people who get the nagging injuries, but I've taken good care of myself. They asked him how he differs from his character in real life. He says, Kane is everything I'm not. But also, I think that what has always drawn people to Kane is that he has an emotional depth. The presentation is awesome. He's a great character. All the things he says, people always see that. There's something behind that, and that's what they relate to. I'm pretty much the opposite. I'm not Kane, for sure.
Well, then, everything he says has no depth. That's basically what he just said.
That means he's a
shallow prick. In real life, I have no depth.
He's a piece of shit.
In real life, Kane is a lawyer.
He's a children's book writer.
He's named Joseph Jacobs.
JJ.
His brother is Glenn Jacobs Kane. Wow. He's really keeping that K-fab up.
Yes! Good job, buddy.
They asked him about being in India. I've been to India before. This is my first time, and I love everything about this place. The culture, the food, everything is absolutely great. The people are vibrant, and the culture is so wonderful. Unfortunately, my schedule is pretty tight this time, but I've been fortunate to have the chance to see the Taj Mahal 5 years ago. We don't really get the chance to see such great places when we travel. I love spicy Indian food, not the bland version. I can take it. Seriously, I eat everything. I follow a diet, basically protein high and carbs really low. Sometimes I cheat, but as long as you're getting what you need... And
dum, that's, dum, dum.
That's where they cut it off.
Jesus. where the hell is the great Kali and Jinder Mahal?
Just ask that.
Who knows?
Yeah, why are they doing a promo and it's not?
I know, right? Why are the Indian guys not doing the Indian promos?
Yeah. The fuck, man? I feel cheated.
I want to hear the great Kali give an interview.
Oh, God. That's when you got to turn the captions on.
How do you differ from the great Kali, the character? And that was all in English.
Don't mind us while we stop the interview and let the great Kali take marbles out of his fucking mouth. Speak, you idiot.
Vince McMahon has been very vocal recently about expanding their online reach to make sure WWE are on top of the next big trend. Following Tout and Twitter, which are priorities due to WWE's investment in social networks, he doesn't want to just focus on the two. WWE hired a new EVP of digital media last month named Perkins Miller, who is aggressively shopping for those new trends/deals. WWE are set to announce another digital partnership this month, which is likely to be at some point next week. WWE are also set to be entering the NBC Sports Network, producing original programming for around 1 or 2 hours. NBC Sports know of WWE's audience and current partnership with NBC, as well as Bonnie Hammer. NBC are looking for strong leaders to rebrand the network, formerly Versus, and what will boost ratings for them while also reflecting their image of the network. I guess they need something while hockey's not on.
Yeah, they're going to have the XFL again.
Yay! I like the XFL.
I like the XFL too, man.
He hate me.
There's a lot of guys that from that got second, you know, got their second shots in that NFL.
That is true. That is true. I was playing All Pro Football 2K8 yesterday on the Xbox 360 because that's the last football game I ever bought. And I'm thinking, like, I'm like yelling at this receiver for the other team, like, I fucking hate this guy. And then it got to me to thinking, like, whatever happened to he hate me?
Damn straight. See, there you go. That's something we need to look into.
He delivered a pizza on the first segment of the or the segment on the first week of Fox Sports's pregame show the following football year season.
He was the bellboy at the hotel that the broadcasters were staying at.
Well, no, they did a little like skit, and they had a pizza delivered. I think it was back when Jimmy Kimmel was still doing the predictions. He had a pizza delivered, and the guy turned around and said, "He hate me."
Oh God, that's great.
Oh man, I was talking about sports on the bus the other day with some of the other people that were on the bus and the bus driver. We were talking about how, you know, there's not going to be hockey and what they could do to improve baseball, and the subject of roller hockey came up. And I was like, oh, yeah, we used to have a team in Buffalo, you know, used to have a roller hockey team. Mm-hmm. And then I said, but back then was when they were trying to make everything extreme. Yeah. And the one guy that never says anything on the bus just looks at me and he goes, the XFL.
Everybody knows about the damn XFL. That was just awful.
For what it's worth, WWE.com confirmed that Randy Orton will face Dolph Ziggler at Sunday's Night of Champions, next Sunday's Night of Champions pay-per-view, following their SmackDown confrontation. Mm. What are you trying to tell me something here, G? Booker T talks about how he'll be perceived after his tell-all new book, Shucky Ducky Quack Quack Fave Five Seabry. Oh my God! Now can you dig that, sucker? You forgot that's what it's all about, right there.
Yeah, that's right. he's got this new book out about going to jail. I've heard it's actually pretty good, but I can't read, so.
Is this the quote here? Nah, you only live once.
That's the real quote.
You can't worry about what people are going to think about you after the fact or anything like that. That was my life. That was who I was. And right now, I'm on a mission from God to help as many kids as I can before I leave this place we call Earth. I have very little time to think about what someone thinks about me after writing this book. Sucker! That's what it's all about right there. Mammy! Shucky ducky, quack quack!
By the special Spinneroony edition, it actually spins.
All 20 of y'all are in my fave five.
Then tell me you didn't just say that edition.
It's on like neck bone. Oh, tell me you didn't just say that.
Or in his case, tell me you didn't just write that.
And the last bit of news I have for the day is that the Toronto Star has published the first review of WWE Studios' No One Lives, which debuted Friday night at the Toronto International Film Festival. This is an actual quote from the review. While parts of it are deliberately campy, the low-budget production veers into the amateurish, and some of the jump cuts make it look like it was edited with a switchblade. Or make that a butter knife, Tony Wong said. The reviewer then continued, saying, "You don't know whether to laugh or cry, but scared? Not so much." It should be noted, however, that the reviewer wanted to like the movie and was pushed into the mainstream by WWE.
They didn't publish his revised review after they paid him off.
Who the fuck is this Brodus Clay guy, and why the hell did they think he could act?
They're going to change the title from No One Lives to No One Watches.
Yeah. No one cares.
Go find something else to do with your money.
That is our news for the week. We got a couple of plugs real quick with George on the show. I will plug once again the Noah's Ark show every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern on allwnyradio.com. That also features me as a co-host, and yes, you'll get to hear me drink a 32-ounce Slurpee in 10 minutes if you tune in right at 6 this weekend.
And that is followed up by next week's edition of Board Wrestling Fan, where I will be the new host because Joe's brain will have frozen completely solid.
I suppose I ought to show you how to work all this stuff.
I think you might have to.
All right. We're also going to plug our brand-new hockey website. It launches at midnight Pacific tomorrow morning. So that's 3 a.m. Eastern time.
Yes.
Midnight Pacific. It is boardhockeyfan.com. We're launching tomorrow with a great great little graphic from Al Creed.
That's awesome.
I'm excited to launch this, and hopefully we will have a season to talk about. Of course, after tomorrow, I'm not doing anything but playing NHL 13.
Oh, God, yeah. I don't even know if I'm going to have a job when it's all said and done. I'm just going to stay home and friggin' play hockey.
Give a quick shout out to our boys over at Wonder Pod Online, who invaded us last Tuesday. You can get that podcast right here on Board Wrestling Fan, because we're nice guys. We let them take over, and we let them host their little takeover our podcast on our site. And Botched Spot, I believe, returns tomorrow. BotchedSpot.com. Our good friend Hornsby, I believe he's returning tomorrow with a new comic.
All right.
I am very excited. He's been gone for a few weeks. This comes in the absence of Wrestler Monkey, who is no longer doing Wrestling with Text for a little while.
Wow.
So we'll give a quick shout-out to Wrestling with Text. You can go back and see all the other stuff he's done while he's taking his break. But I guess that's it. I'm out of stuff to talk about unless you guys have anything. No?
Chucky Anybody? Ducky, quack, quack.
There it is.
Oh, my Lord.
All right, so...
I got a plug here. Starting next Friday over on WonderPod, I'm taking over in a sort of way. Actually, I'm running a 14-week mini series of complete bullshit nonsense that will appear on episodes right up to the end of the year. So if you like the K-Fab and you like random swearing for no reason, check the motherfucker.
Fuck yeah.
Yep. It took me over a year to put this thing together. I think it's kind of funny. So, I'm Canadian, Calgary, Alberta, so it won't be. But either way, check it. NHL, please come back. Fuck you, Gary Batman. At G of the Internet, I'm done.
At G of the Internet. For at Random Redhead. For the guy that's not on social media.
No.
And for at Think So Joe, myself. We are at Board Wrestling Fan on Twitter. That's Board Wrestling Fan without vowels. And our new site is at Board Hockey Fan. And follow us on Facebook. Like us on Twitter. Follow us on Tout and all that other fun crap. I didn't mean to start that right there.
Good job.
Technical problems plague this show. Okay, we'll see you next week.